Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another special Between Takes episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. We are doing all things Sundance 2020 here over at the Nerd Party, and I encourage you to keep an eye on the space for more coverage coming at you. It's just crazy. It's like you're in hyperspace and the stars are zooming in your face. I don't know what it is, but I mean, it's exciting. There's a lot of stuff coming. And what we have here for you today is a really great conversation with Christian Zuniga. He's a cinematographer. He worked on writer-director Danny Madden's Beast Beast. And Beast Beast is a really powerful, emotional film. And one of the most impressive things about it is its cinematography. It's just got this very kinetic energy, and it's really stunning some of the stuff they pull off. We talk all about that. We talk a little bit about how Christian pulled off some of the more difficult shots, some of the stuff that is really crazy. A little bit of a spoiler alert, skateboards may or may not have been involved. We also talk about how Christian worked with the director to come up with the film's visual look and feel. Each character, they kind of have a specific style to them. It's pretty awesome, and I really enjoy talking with this guy. He's great. I hope you enjoy listening. Also, if you are listening, why not just go ahead and give me a 5-star rating? I mean, this is already, we're giving you all you want. You got hyperspace jokes, you've got I don't know what else, but I'm sure, you know, this is what you want from podcasting. So if you go to iTunes, give me a 5-star rating, write a review if you feel so inclined. That would be great. I'll even read it on the internet. This is crazy, people. But enough delay. Let's go ahead and get into this conversation with Christian. I hope you enjoy it.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Christian, congratulations first and foremost on Beast Beast. This is your first feature, isn't it?
Yeah, first feature, first Sundance. A lot of new things to
remember. I was going to say, that's not too shabby, your first feature at your first Sundance.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So how did you get involved, like, as far as cinematography goes? What made you decide to pursue that direction in terms of filmmaking?
I don't know. I kind of fell into it, to be honest. I originally wanted to go to school to be, like, a game developer, more on story than, like, actual animation and designing things, but I ended up going to like Full Sail, which is a trade school, and I went for the film program, kind of just shifted into that a little bit already when I went there, but I thought I wanted to be a director. I thought I was going to be a lot more involved in the story elements, but once I got there, I really realized that I don't like explaining myself to a lot of different people, and I don't like having to convince people why I want to do something. One-on-one, I can do that, but when it's like a large audience, I just don't think I'm going to win anybody over. And then I also just started realizing what I really liked about film was the image and like crafting a look and like moving the camera, and so cinematography just made more sense to me.
What kind of work were you doing before? Just like shorts and documentaries and things like that, or
mostly music videos and commercials, I'd say. I did do quite a few branded docs, which I was like really happy with and learned a lot from, but I definitely say I came up in the commercial music video world.
Did you know Danny before? Like, how did you get on board this production?
I was I'm a part of the Atlanta Film Society, and when Vanishing Angle came to town, I think they kind of reached out to like established people that they could see who was local, you know, crew wise. And my name got tossed in there, and I went to go interview for it. And all I really saw was like a deck, kind of like a breakdown of the story and the characters and the environment, like the space where they all lived. And I don't know, I really connected with it, and it seemed like a style that I could do. It was like a little bit more doc style, it was loose. And it's like with kids, I felt like I could relate to that, you know. But yeah, I had never met Danny beforehand and kind of just went and chatted with him. And guess I said all the right things and it just worked out. I think it was definitely more of me trying to convince them to hire me than it was. Like I was like so excited to like even be offered the chance to work on a feature.
In terms of when you were kind of pitching yourself, what do you think Danny really latched onto? Like, what do you think got you the job?
I think it was more so the fact that he knew I could do it, I guess. They had seen some of, like, the doc work I've done, and a lot of my music video work is, like, really handheld and frenetic, and that's very much Danny's style. He went into it knowing, like, pretty much exactly how he wanted it to look and feel, so he was just trying to find somebody that wouldn't hinder him, and we shot it really, like, scrappy. Like, I had one AC and a gaffer. That was pretty much it. And he wanted to know if I was able to, like, work under those circumstances. And I had done doc work, so I was like, yeah, of course. And I had crew that I worked with a lot, and I knew they would be down to donate, like, a month of their time to come out for it. So
the movie looks incredible. And the whole time, we talked a little bit about it, but, like, I can't imagine you – I mean, just saying you only had a gaffer and a first AC. And the amount of stuff going on. The, I mean, the movie opens correct me if I'm wrong, but with this kind – you're in the center – of this circle of kids kind of spinning around as they're doing their Beast Beast chant. And the film maintains that kind of crazy, just you're always moving. The camera's always like got this kind of vibrancy to it and this energy to it. It's practically buzzing. But like, that must have been a nightmare. I mean, you're shooting a lot of stuff in low light. You're doing a lot of handheld, lots of close-ups. So what, like, I mean, talk about the unique challenges of Beast Beast in terms of doing all that and doing it right and making sure it looked great.
I mean, we kind of just had to ask for a lot of favors, you know, like the all of the stuff in that black box theater in the school, we were able to get their like lighting technician to come out and control all the levels for us and set it to the right color temperature. And we kind of just found looks that would work for us for different parts of the story when they're up there. So most of, I mean, all of that's lit from above with just like practical sources that we just made sure were dialed in for camera. And then that same guy, we also just borrowed a bunch of his, he's like a DJ. So we borrowed a lot of his DJ lights for that party scene.
I was going to ask about that scene because the movie has a couple scenes like that where I feel like you got to have a lot of fun just being like, let's just go crazy.
It was definitely fun because what we had to do is you have to be able to light the space and also have the sources live in frame. So like being able to get these sources that you could see on camera was really helpful. We kind of just set it up in the right way, and I ended up bouncing a lot of them off the ceiling to kind of, that was like what made it so soft. It was like it was skipping off from above and kind of gave a nice shape. So it's just a bit of like asking for favors and making the locations work for us, you know?
And a lot of the stuff is shot at night and you're outdoors a lot, which again, low budget production, that had to be just extremely challenging. But how did you guys overcome that stuff and make it work?
To be honest, a lot of the sources are so like powerful and cheap these days. We use a lot of like tubes, like all the stuff outside of like the swimming pool, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And like the scene out back of the party, my gaffer just put we put tubes up on top of the roof, just lining all the top of the house, so it just feels like there's a light coming from the practicals outside, but it's like our source is really edging them out.
Was it a lot of practical, like did you do a lot of just natural light, or because it's it felt like that, it felt like that.
There's probably one shot of the whole movie with a bounce. Everything else is all really natural and just finding the right place to put camera. There's a few sources inside of Adam's room that are like really sneakily hidden in there, because that's definitely the areas where we were able to get a lot more control lighting wise, because we weren't, it's not all over the place, you know. There was some film lights in there, but honestly, it was a lot of using sources that were already over the tables that we would just wrap in like a gem ball cover. Like, if you know what a gem ball is, they come with different skins you can put on it, like muslin, things like that. We would just steal the cover for that and then wrap it over real sources that were already there to like give it a bigger shape and like a nicer quality. But super simple approach, you know, and we kind of needed that. We didn't have a lot of time, and Danny likes to shoot all over the place. So if you kind of, you got to go fast and make it look good.
What was the most challenging shot to get?
There's nothing that was, I found too hard, except for, it wasn't even a shot, it was like more so a whole scene. That scene in the house, like kind of the climax, I don't want to really say too much.
Sure.
But that was shot over 2 days, and we didn't really have the budget to, for something like that, I feel like you should black everything out and light the house from scratch, because it's supposed to happen in such a small amount of time, but we're shooting it over like 12 hours. So you could really feel the light change throughout the space. And that was like really hard for us on the day because we didn't have all the gear to do that. So that was definitely a bit tricky to make it feel like it's the same time of day, even though the sun's like setting on the other side of the house. You know, so one of the hardest challenges of this was when Danny is like shooting and for a lot of like the theater stuff, there's no rehearsals, and he kind of just goes, and like he'll be recording until a card runs out basically. But most of that time we're on like an 85 just, and he's just running around and they're moving, and it's like the camera's moving and people are moving and you're on an 85 and you're like right here. And a lot of times the close focus wasn't that great on the lenses we were using, so we would throw in a +2 diopter. When you do that, it basically, all your marks are out of the window. It changes all of that. So it's all by eye.
Like, why not make it harder?
Yeah, and so we were doing this for, like, 2 days, and I swear, after the end of every day, our first AC, was just his eyes would be, like, burnt out, and he would, like, turn and look at us, and he would just be like, is Danny mad at me? Like, why is he doing this to me? It was, like, the funniest thing ever. And his way of talking to Danny when, like, telling him he's getting too close, like, he's getting within the close focus, because we're not going to stop him from shooting and run up there, Austin would take his Preston motor and just tap it at infinity and, like, almost like a Morse code so Danny could hear it. It's like, click, 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 so he knows he's too close, and, like, it would step him back. But they kind of had just, like, this ongoing, like, funny battle of him just trying to get everything in there for Danny, and Danny just being like, you can do it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. I can't imagine, too. But it turned out well. So he can at least be like, oh, Danny didn't hate me. It was all for the art.
Yeah, exactly.
It all paid off.
He was such a trooper. We definitely would not have been able to do it without him. Really talented guy. And what's funny is he is never firsted again. He is now works for Cine Moves and is a head tech, and he is no longer an AC after that film. We always joke that, like, it broke him. Yeah, the movie broke him.
killed the dream. Well, it's funny you bring up the scenes with Adam. While the whole movie just is constant movement, and you captured the spirit and the energy of these kids so well, with Adam, we talked briefly about it after the screening. You mentioned to me, because I said, was the whole film handheld? And you were like, no, not for Adam. So talk a little about, like, those conversations early on with Danny, just figuring out his scenes, which are very, very static and very, very kind of almost clinical in a way, versus the energy of that and just what those conversations were like.
Yeah, that was something Danny had thought of, like, almost immediately. I feel like it was even in his little pitch deck. He wanted to approach them all differently. And it's really just, he wanted to design a style that was meant for each character. It's not even like, I don't think he was necessarily trying to force anything onto them. It's just like, this is how their character should be portrayed, because it's like their style, their personality. Nito's stuff is all really wide and low, and it's kind of, Danny always called it like the skateboarding angles, you know, it's just loose and like a lot of movement, because his character is so, he's so active. It's just, that's how he is. So you want to be able to reflect that. And then Krista's like so wiggly and all over the place and silly. So hers was very similar, where it's all handheld and like very expressive angles, but also a lot of like tight stuff. And then Adam is obviously a bit more reserved. He is probably the one who feels the most lost in the film and the least able to like open up, I think. So that just naturally, like, we want it to be still and more calm. He doesn't have a lot of people to talk to. And I think like that kind of camera style made you feel that, you know, connect with his character that way and feel what he feels like to be in his world.
Definitely. And particularly with you have a lot of shots within, I don't know how you pulled this off, but the car stuff, when you're just in the cars with them, are you just like, how did you make that work? Because I'm trying to figure out where you...
Oh, dude, it was so hard.
I couldn't figure out where you were in relation to everybody else.
For that stuff, and that was mostly, pretty much all Nito stuff was in the car. We maybe had one scene with Krista in a car, but that was really just us. We slimmed down the camera as much as possible and basically turned it into like a battery backpack rig. Like all the Preston motors and like the Terra Deck and everything was all run off camera and mounted on like a battery belt. So the camera's probably like maybe this big with just some handles on it. And so we would just do multiple laps in these cars and take out different people depending on where Danny needed to be to get the coverage. But it's really just us driving around and with like a walkie with Danny if he ever needed anything. But he needed to be in there operating to be able to give direction and like keep things flowing. So it was really just Danny crammed in there, and he's a pretty skinny dude, but it was pretty tight for him. But yeah, we would just let him circle around and we'd be following behind him and hop in and change batteries when we needed to.
I mean, there's so much amazing work in this as far as just the camera work and the cinematography. That stuff comes to mind. There's also this amazing shot. I can't remember exactly the context of it, but I think it's Krista running in front of the lockers down the hall, and you kind of catch her on the way and then start moving with her and capturing that movement. There's so much where I just can't fathom the amount of elements that have to be right on point to get that stuff, but you're always moving. It's not locked down.
Are you talking about when, like, after the kind of the big event happens? Are you talking about after? Okay, yes. Yeah, no, that scene is so rad. Danny did it so smart, too, because if you've noticed that, the fence and the sound of that is such a big part of the movie. This just like tick, 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 tick. Yeah. And so he really wanted to like amp up the energy and bring that in. So we just kind of followed her and then went parallel with those lockers. So you could just, the seeing those lines pass helps make it like ramp up for
was
you.
Was it a, it was a steady cam? Was it a doll? Like what was it?
Oh, we just tossed Danny on a skateboard and I was pulling.
Oh my God. Yeah.
There's a lot of skateboard shots in this film, like very sneakily tucked in there.
The skateboard, what, is there anything it can't do? That's my question. Which stuff were you like the most proud of? Like you were like, that's now the number one thing in my reel. That's now like, this is the thing that I feel like I really accomplished.
Probably, honestly, most of Adam's stuff, that's where I want to start going with my cinematography. I started off really loose and like free how the other two characters are, like that doc style, but I think I've been ready to like start leaning towards something that's a little bit more methodic and controlled, and I was really happy with how those scenes turned out. And I operated all that stuff, because if you let Danny do it, it would, sometimes he gets a little, I think he wants to start moving. So I did a lot of that, but he was so good about designing the movement. There's so many like really subtle like slider shots with Adam that he did a really good job. So I feel like in the beginning, you didn't quite notice at first that most of his stuff was locked off. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because Danny did such a good job of having movement in the previous people's scenes, and then it would kind of carry over into a pan with Adam, you know, or there's like still a bit of movement. It's not handheld, but like it can complete it enough where you don't, it's not jarring. And he did a really good job about connecting those two worlds in that simple of a way where it's movement instead of, I guess, being handheld or static. You don't feel a difference as much.
And there's this, there's a crazy opening montage that really sets the tone for the movie, where it's just all the kids kind of just, did you have any, they're all videoing themselves. Did you have any say in that, or what was it, were you involved?
I saw that for the first time probably like 2 weeks ago, and I was like so stoked. It's I'd seen all that footage of Jose as his own, like that's real stuff. So I'd seen all that, but the stuff with Will was, I hadn't seen any of that shooting stuff. That was like during his prep, like to kind of get into the role, they were shooting all that stuff, and it was awesome to see. And dude, the way he cut it was so good. It's just like, it's so intense, right? It's awesome.
Again, it kicks off the energy that the movie maintains throughout, and it's a perfect way to kind of, you meet all these characters without, like, you realize, like, this is your introduction to these kids, and you get a really good feel for just their personalities just through that. Yeah. So it was really impressive. Was there a situation where, like, you and Danny really wanted to do something and pull something off, and it was, like, the elements or whatever just worked against you, and you were able to find a compromise that, like, ended up being even better than you imagined, or a situation like that?
No, to be honest, Danny had it like all really storyboarded out. There's some scenes he cut out, but he really did his homework, and he put it all together in a very confident and like concise way. That there's some things that kind of changed on the day, but nothing crazy. It would just be like, oh, this angle is not going to work, let's try to go over there. But there's no like, there's nothing that I felt that we were really disappointed in and like had to completely shift. I don't think we ever really ran into that, because to be honest, most of the places are set in spaces that he's been in, and it's like it's his house. It's like he knew what he was going for, you know.
So what I guess I would ask, like, if there's something like you're really proud of that nobody's really noticed yet, or something you want to point out.
I would say there's definitely like some Easter eggs, if you know, like if you know Danny and like know a bit about him on a lot of the YouTube comments and stuff, and like little pictures inside of there. There's definitely some cool little Easter eggs with like people he's thrown in there. I mean, the stuff I'm super happy with is like, we did a couple really cool one-ers that I felt were really smooth. Like the scene where Adam's like kind of walking into the TV room and like goes to sit down, and it's like going all down the line. That I was super happy with lighting wise. And that was just a super collaborative. Austin, our first AC, it was kind of his idea to like jump down the line and not like go and do a different coverage. He wanted to like just make it something cool. And I think it stands out a bit. There's also an Easter egg in there where they're actually watching Thunder Road.
Are there?
Yeah.
So what's next? What's happening next? Where are you hoping to go from here with your career? Also, what's like your dream project? Like if you could hop on board any kind of thing, whether it's like big or small, people you want to work with, what do you think? What's going on next?
Well, right now I have two other features in post, so I guess I'm kind of just waiting for those to come out. And other than that, right now I'm working on like a feature doc that's like kind of personal to me. Just doing that with a buddy, like slowly over time. But I mean, the ultimate goal is to obviously keep doing features, I think. Now that I got a taste and then went and did a few more, I'm super into it. And it's I feel like I get a lot more joy from it than commercials and music videos these days. And you kind of get to meet a lot more people. But yeah, to be honest, I think what I really... I like features, but to get more specific, I would love to do another feature doc. I did one, parts of one last year called Spirits in the Forest for Depeche Mode. We got to travel around and like meet all these really cool people for like this such a niche thing. It's like a Depeche Mode super fan. It's like seeing their world and like how the band like affected them was really cool for me. And it just made me want to do another feature doc and like be able to explore a part of the world that I've never known, you know, but like be able to really sit with it for a long time. It's not like going to shoot for like one day. Like you get to be there for like weeks and like really learn something new. And that's something I'm definitely looking forward to do more of.
And so my podcast, Missing Frames, we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. So is there, what is your missing frame? What is a movie that people are constantly like, how could you not have seen this movie? Who are you?
I've never seen The Godfather or any
Godfather.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a bad one. I should go back and watch all those. That and Apocalypse Now I've never seen. There's like a handful of big ones that I feel like I really need to go back and watch.
You're slack. Coppola's
I know.
Mad. I hope he doesn't listen to this. Well, Christian, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, you too, man. Appreciate it.